This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey there. All Latino is taking a break from making new shows for a bit while we regroup for the upcoming year. But that doesn't mean that we'll leave you without some great content from All Latino's extensive inventory of interviews. We'll be taking a deep dive into our archive and pulling out some of our favorite coverage throughout the years. Enjoy.
As we continue to celebrate Women's History Month here on Alt Latino, we've decided to go back to a couple of interviews with two Latino vocalists who were just about to launch careers that have since made them very familiar to Latin music fans around the world. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. And once again, we're going back into the Alt Latino archive. First, a 2016 interview with Cuban singer Daimé Arocena, in which we chatted about the cultural connection between the U.S. and Cuba and the influence that has on her music. And we'll also hear from Puerto Rican singer Ile from an interview that originally aired in 2017, just as she was about to release her first solo album. Up first, back to 2016, when Cuban vocalist Daimé Arocena dropped by the Alt Latino World headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, since this interview, Daimé has really blossomed as a recording artist. She has toured the world sharing her own take on Cuban music, a pastiche that is equal parts soul music from the U.S. and Afro-Cuban tradition. And did I mention she's funny as heck? Check out this interview she did with Jasmine Garstenay. From Cuba, by way of New Orleans and Los Angeles and everywhere else this week, this is Daimé Arocena.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
She's been on a short tour of the United States, and she stopped here in Washington, D.C., and we're extremely glad to have her. Okay, we're going to start with one of your songs.
This one that I am listening now? Ay, sin empezar. It's about crazy love histories, you know?
Just what you guys were talking about.
Se te olvidó saber de mí. Dando la paz para morir.
Daimé Arocena with the song Sin Empezar, and she's with us in the studio today. You are on a very short tour of the United States right now.
Yeah.
It comes at the time when it's a very interesting time between the relations and the history of the United States and Cuba.
Is it just crazy to see what's happening right now with the U.S. and Cuba? Is it something that you never thought would have happened?
Maybe not that quickly, but, you know, yeah, I knew it. The good thing is that Cuba is still kind of pure. I love that. But anyway, we need internet and we need we need to be part of the world too in the 2016 for sure. In Cuba we have a lot of problems, but we survive. We survive. We don't cry, we fight. And that's the same feeling that I get here in the US. People are not crying everywhere, like we don't have no, we don't have, but we fight to get it. So that's why I love U.S. and I feel this nice connection with Cuba too. So for me, it's like a mirror.
Everyone seems really excited. Some people are also worried about what it means for the future of Cuba. What do you think? Are people worried? Are they excited?
In Cuba?
Yeah, about what this means.
We are waiting for that. We are so excited. We are pretty excited. Trust me, we are a country of good people, always with the energy to be able for all the change, you know, all the new stuff. We are missing that. We are missing to be part of the industries, to be part of everything. So everyone is waiting for that big change. You know, sometimes we are kind of crazy because the change is not going to be like this. You know, I hope that it's gonna go slowly. But anyway, people are like so excited about a new time in Cuba. Yeah.
And one of the things that people are excited about is to be able to be exposed to Cuban artists, Cuban music.
In Cuba, you get musicians, like phenomenal musicians, every corner. And I think all we need is to be in the eyes of everywhere. Because the people are still in the, you know, in the 50s with Buena Vista Social Club and everything.
Yeah.
We have 50 years more than that. 50 years creating, 50 years composing, 15 years singing, playing. When you arrive in Cuba, you see an island that is like a treasure. The treasure of the culture, of the music, you know, of the freedom about creating. Because that's a good point about Cuba. We don't have musical industry, so we are still kind of pure about creating. We just create because we like to do music in the good way. And you feel the music from the soul more than from, you know, this economic stuff, how I sell this song, how do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
The music is spiritual, it's from the soul. So, you know, I just hope with this new moment that Cuba is living, all the great musicians that we have everywhere get the opportunity to being around the world, showing what we have inside. So thanks, Obama.
I think that's one of the things that if we can try to, a myth that we can try to dispel here on the show and in general, the idea that because of the economic and financial blockade between the United States and Cuba, you guys heard American music all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Even when it was prohibited, we didn't care about it. I mean, I didn't get that moment because I wasn't born. But I know that at one moment, you know, in the 60s, in the 70s, it was prohibited to listen music from the Yankees, you know.
Yeah.
But people referred to get in jail, you know. I know people that they were so in love about American music and they were playing American music, and they got in jail just to listen American music.
What you're talking about music being prohibited, Yankee music.
Yeah,
like that happened in a lot of Latin America.
Yeah,
and what one of the things that didn't understand is that a lot of music in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
was actually very subversive, and it was protesting, and it was talking about racism and classism and all these issues. And I'm wondering if there was something that clicked for you, as not just as a Cuban woman, as a Black Cuban woman. I mean, what was going on when you guys were hearing this?
For example, in this case, in this specific case of Nina Simone, I'm in love with her because she used to sing her songs, the songs that she wrote, because those songs are explaining what she was living in her moment. And that's why I feel that connection with her. I mean, I really like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday, but in Nina's case, she was honest with herself. And I love musicians when they are playing the things that they are feeling inside, you know, they are creating, they are putting in the paper because those are things that they are living in the moment. So I think maybe that's the way that I started to fall in love about American music too. Because when someone is singing something that is coming from their soul, you know, from the soul, from all the feelings that you have inside, for all your sadness or your happiness, or that's a taste that you cannot compare with anything else. And, you know, for me, it's like my food. It's all I need. That's all we need to fall in love with. That moment when he said, dicen que puedes darme todo lo que existe, o por lo menos todo lo que dices, que es casi casi lo que sueño yo. That's too much. I mean, ah, man, you don't need anymore to fall in love. Pancho, I love you, man.
So tell me a little about yourself, because I feel like your music, you're really different than what I thought you would be in person.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I feel like your music is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's very soulful and there's a melancholy to it. Mm-hmm. And there's like a, even when it's happy, it feels very holy, almost, yeah. Like sacred.
Yeah.
And you are so much fun and like, you know, and loud and yeah. Somebody I would probably want to go get a drink with. So, what's up with those two personas?
That's a what a good question. I don't know. In this kind of musician life, you know, you can get any kind of experience. You can meet any kind of persons. You have to fight first with yourself and second with your life to win. So all I got to win in my own war is to laugh. Always. To have a good smile for all the situations that I get. Cause you know, I'm pretty young still. If I start now, my crazy life, like to taking it serious, in the serious way, I'm gonna be the most arrogant and complicated lady when I get 40. And I don't want that. I want beautiful boys around me when I, you know, when I been 40 or 50. I mean, I want to keep my young soul forever, if it's possible. Because the body is not possible, but my soul, I wanted to keep it young. So my saint said to me, Oshun, she said to me, I gave you the voice, your voice, and your laugh, and your honey. You have three things of mine. Your voice, to sing, to talk, to everything. Your laugh. You're gonna find all these solutions that you are looking for just laughing. And honey to get sweet everything, to make better everything. You know, you can put honey in your body and all the problems are gonna follow down. Cause you know, honey is like halosa.
Slippery.
So put honey in your body, put honey in your voice, put honey everywhere. Make sweet everything, and you're gonna win. So that's all I tried. She said that, and I'm trying.
Okay, that was a snippet from the 2016 Alt Latino interview with Daime Arocena from the episode called Music, Laughter, Honey, Daime Arocena's Secret Recipe. That was 6 years ago, and I've talked to her many times since then, mostly at her shows, and she's just as dynamic, funny, and engaging as she was back then.
Maldito sean los amores que te amarran sin consuelo. Malditos sean los abrazos que rasguñan el querer.
Okay, finally we hear from a 2017 interview with Boricua vocalist Ileana Cabra, who goes by the name of Ile. Back then, she was just about to launch what has become a very successful solo career, and I talked to her about her journey, her musical influences, and her work as a solo musician. Because as a reminder, Ile was a member of the mega-successful rap group Calle 13 with her brothers René Joglar and Eduardo Cabra. So going solo was a big step for her. And here's what she had to say about that in the following interview.
Okay, so we just played a track from your record, your last record, which was a phenomenal smash in every way. We loved it here at Alt Latino, and so did a lot of other people. And you're still riding the wave of that popularity. Why do you think it was so popular? What kind of message, what kind of chord did it strike with people?
I don't know. I was surprised to see the reaction of people with this album, because it's my first one and I just did what I felt I needed to do. And it was in some way to use as an influence my musical culture as a Puerto Rican and as a Caribbean. And it's because I'm a very fan of our own music. And I was feeling like nowadays it was being a little forgotten through the years. So I felt that necessity to work with my roots in some way. But I was not thinking at all how people were going to receive it. So I said to myself, well, at least I'm happy. I enjoyed it a lot, the whole process. I learned a lot. So let's see how people listen to it. But I was not expecting anything at all. So I was very excited. I am very excited to how this year has been going on. It was very intense. And people, I'm very grateful that people are appreciating this work that took this whole album, Inevitable.
It was quite a work. It was quite an effort, and very successful, like I said. But and also, my own perspective, my thought is that I think people sometimes need to be reminded, or like to be reminded, especially younger people. When I was your age, I like to be reminded of raíces, my roots, right? And I think that that's very popular with people these days.
Yeah, I think it's necessary because some people say to forget the past, but I don't think that's healthy, because the past also is what forms the present and it's part of who we are now. So we need to embrace the past in a way and transform it to make it better and make it and make a better future. So I like to take the past in that way, like to in a way of transformation and learning from the past.
Well, Tio Felix says that if you don't know where you've been, you'll not know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think that let's talk a little bit about that, because and you've probably talked about this quite a bit in the past. But we want to hear it again. You know, the idea that you came of age with the group Calle 13 in the forefront of the Latin hip-hop in general, but your heart is in a different era.
In a way, I feel like I'm very open to all types of music, and I like to also explore with other things and get out of my comfort zone. But I feel it is also a very important part, especially with interpretation. My grandmother taught me a lot about the importance of interpretation while singing. And I didn't recognize that until I was through the years with my own brothers and with myself, with the singing lessons, that every word explains something and has a meaning and has a feeling and has a way of saying it and has a different tone, and that is important to transmit it in the most honest way possible. And that for me is very important, and it's something that I'm feeling that nowadays is lacking in music, because now everything is so perfect in sound that it feels everything feel a little distant and a little further. So for me it's important when I listen to music, I like it to feel close to me. And that's what I love about this music, mainly from another time, but I like that there was a feeling that it's transmitted more directly, because everything was not so perfect. Like, the arrangements were perfect, but if the sound was not, like, it sounded live. It sounded live in the whole meaning of the word, and you also felt alive listening to it. So that's my main purpose in doing art and in doing music, that it transmits directly to people who are going to listen to it.
In the music from that era, whether it's Big Band Bolero like this, or even some of the jazz or any of the music where they were recorded live, pop music, for example, there's for musicians, because I play a little bit of music, for musicians there's a slight tension. There's a little bit of excitement when you're recording like that, because, you know, one wrong note and you got to start all over. So there's an edge to the music always that gives it a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it, and it can come out perfect, but there's always room for, okay, we don't want to make a mistake. And so everybody's like, it's even more of a, oof, I don't even know what the word
is. But still, I love when a mistake suddenly it makes everything more perfect.
Yes.
I love that about mistakes. Like, suddenly, maybe that wasn't the note, but what you did was great. Like, maybe it made everything better. So I love mistakes.
Let's take a break from the music and talk a little bit about what's going on in Puerto Rico right now. First of all, how is your family? Is everybody okay? Did you guys get through okay, more or less?
Yes, we are good. Only half of my roof from the balcony that is from this wooden, it went away, but we're good. And my whole family is good as well. My mom was in Argentina, so it was good because she's okay. And we took care of each other there in Puerto Rico, so we're good. But the rest of the country isn't. So,
were you there when the storm hit?
Yeah, I was. I lived there. It was very strong. It was very long. There was a time where you didn't know if it was going to end, and it was something that we've never seen before. And it was through daylight mostly. So we were seeing everything outside, the trees. Where I live, there's a tree that was 200 years that fell. And it's crazy. But also, the rest of the country, a lot of houses are not existent right now. And a lot of people are now going through a lot, and there's still no light, and we're like in our day 40, I think. I have water in my house, but a lot of the country doesn't have light unless you live nearby a hospital. And also, suddenly the light in the hospital goes away because there's a lot of electricity cables on the street, and the it's a mess. It's very crazy. It's very sad, very frustrating, because I cannot believe how insensitive the government of the United States and also the government of Puerto Rico has been through all this. It's weird. It's humiliating.
One thing that strikes me about this is that even though you're going through this, there seems to be this spirit of resilience. Right? It's like the Puerto Ricans, they will survive.
Yeah, you know? It's very unconscious, because for me, that's what independence is about. I'm part of the minority of that wants Puerto Rico to be independent. But it's almost ironic how people, like, I don't know if it's a reaction of the body, of the humanity. We are helping each other as Puerto Ricans. We're not waiting for anybody. And that's what it's all about, of help, of being, feeling empathy with each other, feeling solidarity. And that's what is happening. And that's what relieves me, that there is something there that we are taking care of each other and as a whole big family, and that's what we are, and that's how we should work from now on in our own way, and that's what we need to learn, that we haven't learned in school, that our history has take us away, we don't know so much about our own history and about our own people. So now it's like a moment of transformation, of changes, of realizing a lot of things that it's going on. It's like moving another skin. So it's incredible everything that we're going through. But I think in a way, well, in the bad things, there's always a good thing. You know, we learn from them and we try to figure out how to work it out. And that's what we're going through now.
Is it too soon to talk about the effect of the storm on the music scene there? I mean, I'd imagine that without electricity, there are no play. You can't play music. Some of the venues probably have been destroyed. I'm wondering about recording studios. I'm wondering about musicians who had instruments. You know, and even some of the folk instruments like bomba y plena, all the tambores and all that, you know. Does anybody have any idea what kind of effect it's having?
Jerry Medina, he's like my uncle. he's been singing in Old San Juan en la Barandilla since like the day after the hurricane. So it's nice because he has been gathering up musicians that live in San Juan, and they were playing, and he plays the trumpet and he sings amazingly. So it was nice. It was refreshing to see the videos of him singing in the plaza. And there's also been some other people playing bomba and rumba and plena. I think it could happen more. I think it's something we need as well, because I cannot believe that sometimes, like in Puerto Rico, there's not so much music as I want to feel. Like bomba for me is like that part of who we are, and I would love to see that on the street. And you don't need no mic and you don't need no electricity to play that. So I think it could be a little there could be a little more unplugged music, but people are also, you know, processing everything. And I know a lot of people are taking care of their families and taking care of the whole country at the same time, because while I was there the other days, like, you wake up and you try to work your own things, but also it's like, okay, let's get together and let's go to some town and work and give food, give water, and see how we can work together. So it's like another way of living now.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you think that the music scene may come back even more vibrant.
I hope so. I think, yeah, at least I'm in my house. I've been writing a lot. I've been composing with whatever I can, and I've been letting go a lot of things. I think it's healthy. I think it's what musicians need to do to work this out better, you know. So, yeah, I think now we have like we see things a whole lot differently after this.
That was from the 2017 Alt Latino episode called Guest DJ. Ile shares the classic sounds driving her new solo music. You know, one of the joys of doing this show for so long is that it has been fascinating to watch musicians grow and develop over time and become the amazing musicians we know now. And to me, it's especially gratifying to watch so many young female musicians become vital members of the Latin music community, expressing their womanhood in so many creative ways. That's it for this week's show. Another focus on women during this Women's History Month. Alt Latino intern Kat Sposato is producing these shows, and she has been digging up some great archive material. So tune in next week to check out what she finds next. You have been listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras. Thanks for listening. And as always, please be safe out there, folks. Take care of each other.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. When you're home shopping as a parent, you have lots of questions about local schools. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by a dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.